Okay. Gathered here, it's number 389. Gathered here in the mystery of the hour. Gathered here in one strong body. Gathered here in the struggle and the power. Spirit, draw near. Let's do it once more. Gathered here in the mystery of the hour. Gathered here in one strong body. Gathered here in the struggle and the power. Spirit, draw near. Thank you. This morning, we are reflecting on the past year of our children's religious education program, a vital part of the fellowship's life. And you may notice some of them are sitting up here, and if there are any other children that want to sit up here during this opening part of the service, you are welcome to be up here because you are kind of on display. You're who we're talking about today. Now, not only are they the future of our community and our civilization, but they are also the present, a reminder to us to live fully now. More than that, they are human beings who we treasure now, in this moment, in their own right. Now, each segment of the beginning of this service is sponsored by one of our classes this morning. This welcome this morning is brought to you by our nursery. Typically, our welcoming words are something like, you're welcome here, no matter who you are, where you come from, how you arrived, what you believe, or who you love. And today, we still extend that welcome, but today, we'll think about it a little more with an infant or emerging toddler in mind. Hello! Look at my big smile! What's your name? Did you sleep well? Are you having a good day? Do I look scary? Are you happy to be here? Are you hungry? Are you dry? We're glad you're here. I think we can have some fun together. And if you're not comfortable, we'll walk you around a little. And with the simplicity of the youngest of us, let's take a moment just to welcome one another with a smile, a handshake, or even a hug. Okay. The children are welcome to be up here. All right. So we welcome babies as they are in that moment, kind of like we try to embrace our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, as listed on the back of your program. You use value the youngest among us as individuals, not as miniature adults, but as dignified, tiny people. Margot Say and June and other guests frequented the nursery this year. They are each so different, and we encourage everyone to get to know them more as they grow. You'll find announcements in your order of service. A few minutes after the service this morning, there'll be a chalice circle light, and if you're interested in trying out chalice circles, or if you've missed your group this month, or if you just want to enjoy some structured conversation for an hour, you're welcome to join in. I want to say something special about June the 4th, week after next. Not only will we have the Bon Voyage party and potluck, but we're also going to have our flower ceremony. So on the 4th, bring a flower, and you'll take a different one home. The food you bring for potluck, we'll eat. Each summer, our children's religious education take a world tour with the help of adults in the congregation who have a place to share or a concept to share. And Talk to Sandy if you're interested in being part of that fund, because it's a single Sunday morning commitment for each volunteer, and I know she's seeking people at this point. And I'm going to invite Destiny up to do the chalice lighting.
All right, I'm going to be reading from hymn 529 called The Stream of Life. The stream of life that runs through my veins, night and day runs through the world and dance in rhythmic measures. It is the same life that shoots in joy through the dust of the earth and numberless blades of grass. It breaks into tremulous waves of leaves and flowers. And the same life that is rocked in the ocean and cradled of birth and death and ebb and flow. I feel my limbs are made by the glorious touch of this world of life, and my pride is from the life, throb of ages, dancing in the blood this moment.
Our opening hymn is number 346. Come sing a song with me. Please rise in body or spirit. Set aside a time to hear about what lifts you up and what is keeping you up at night. This morning, our time of joys and sorrows is sponsored by our pre-K class. Before we pass the microphone, let's consider that all of life for a pre-K child is joys and sorrows. There is very little in-between time for a child coming into his or her own. We are joyful when we draw a picture and proud to share it with others. We are concerned, even sorrowful, when the blocks we are stacking get knocked over. Pre-K kids live in the now, but their now can include learning about kindness and practicing patience as we explore the world together. Kay, Julia, Rhea, Emerson, Isaac, Xavier, Quinn, and assorted guests helped us explore the now. So we are ready now, if you have joys or sorrows, to raise your hand and a microphone will come to you.
I have a toy that is my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Arthur. Happy birthday to you.
So, another life event. My name is Michaela Sievers, and my joy is that I graduated from K-State last weekend. And my sister survived all of the planning and everything for my party, so it's a joy for her that it's over also. And for anybody who's wondering, I will be moving to Davenport, Iowa to start college at Palmer Chiropractic in July. So I'll be here a few more weeks and enjoying it and working hard, saving up a little bit of money and on my way. So thank you to everybody who's been supportive all these years.
I have a joy that it is out of school time, and it's Jocelyn's birthday today.
To you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Jocelyn, happy birthday to you.
I got married.
I have a joy that I am proud of Jake for being recognized at school for displaying perseverance and integrity.
I have a joy that I also graduated from K-State last weekend. I got my master's in teaching, and I've accepted a job at Northview Elementary in the sixth grade. Yeah. And I also want to say thanks to Kathy Hedge for offering to be my mentor when I'm a teacher. So thank you, Kathy.
We hold all these joys in our hearts. I don't think we heard any sorrows. Wow. We hold all these joys in our hearts, and we extend to everyone whatever support and help they need. So thanks, everybody. Our special music this morning is sponsored by our K-2 class. They've been using the Picture Book World Religions curriculum all year, with a sprinkling of lessons around the themes of the month. And a particular favorite of this class was a lesson on individuality using the famed Kandinsky circles. Now, I personally did not hear of Kandinsky until I was well into adulthood, but they know him now. Alexander, Arthur, Piper, Elena, Aurelia, Logan, Ruby, Rowan, Sophia, Griffin, Riley, Holden, Shane, Scotty, Eric, Hunter, Mia, Maddie, Joey, and assorted guests brightened the class. And as a musical warm-up, they're going to lead us all in the Seven Principles song.
All children, come to the front, even if you think you're too old to be at the front.
Okay.
So, William is sitting on the floor. So each week when we go back and leave the service, this is one of the things that we do. Sorry. Each week when we go back and leave the service, this is one of the things that we do. Okay? So watch carefully and learn about how you grow up the UU way.
Search for what?
the children to sit down back in, yes, back in regular seats so that the choir can come forward, the UUFM singers. A traditional story today, so children can remain where they are. Now, this whole process is sharing the story of RE. The third through sixth grade class, who are sponsoring this segment of the program, are all about stories because the kids essentially created their own story for each class, with Matt serving as a guide. Matt came up with a music playlist ready each week to set a mood and encourage broader thinking. His kids also shared several group stories. One week, they started at the beginning of the story with each person writing the next sentence. And another week, they started at the end and wrote backward. Matt worked to convey that for UUs, the trip, the spiritual journey, is the important thing. The ending of a story is important, but it's the whole book, the whole experience that resonates. Keaton, Jake, Liam, Rose, Kaya, Ariana, Jocelyn, Leah, Burke, Kieran, Colby, Noah, Ethan, Simon, George, and others helped in this process of discovery. And I would like to invite forward our Director of Religious Education, Sandy Nelson, to express the appreciation we all feel for our teachers.
I could sum up lots of different wonderful things about these teachers, but bottom line is they're all just wonderful. So if there are any teachers here that could come and be recognized, let's see, Matt and Molly and Carolyn and Matt and Jen and Megan, who is gone already. She graduated. She was in the nursery. We give... And Catherine! And Catherine is with June in the nursery, so we don't have Catherine. Catherine has given me lots of gray hairs in my life because she is my child. But being here is not one of those gray hairs because she's been very versatile. She can teach at any class, anytime. Pops into the nursery at a moment's notice. So we all give thanks today for completing another year of learning and rejoice in the energy and new insights that each of you bring as a part of our faith community. We could not do this without your talents and continued commitment. And with this token, we want you to know that you fill our bucket. And as you fill this with the beverage of your choice, know that you are appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, and Catherine. So, our exit song this morning is sponsored by the 7 and Up class. Several of our teens reflected just last week on the recent overnight experience they had meeting with other peers from Salina and Topeka, and they really connected and felt like they made new friends. On Sundays in the fall, they used the role-playing curriculum Living in UUville, which led to some really good discussions on racial profiling, drug arrests, art, freedom of speech, educational goals, and more. And in the spring, they dove into peace experiments, and the overriding message for all of them was that it takes as much effort to maintain peaceful relationships as it does to stay in conflict. So Lily, Maeve, Mia, Zach, Clara, Nick, Ronan, Sam, Lauren, Indigo, Carrie, Destiny, Helen, Joey, Jess, William, and several guests participated and enriched their learning. And now we can sing the children to their classes.
Though in love our hearts go with you, though in joy our hopes go too, learn in love and grow in wisdom, shine your light.
Kay will lead us in a responsive reading, number 512, if you would like to get out your hymnals. We have it, Carrie.
Are you over your cold? Are you over your cold?
I don't know.
Good question.
Hi, everyone. So if you turn your hymn books into the back for reading 512, it's a responsive reading, so I will say a paragraph and you will say something back to me. For the expanding grandeur of creation, worlds known and unknown, galaxies beyond galaxies, filling us with awe and challenging our imaginations. For this fragile planet Earth, its times and tides, its sunsets and seasons. For the joy of human life, its wonders and surprises, its hopes and achievements.
We give thanks to say.
For our human community, our common past and future hope, our oneness transcending all separation, our capacity to work for peace and justice in the midst of hostility and oppression.
We give thanks to say.
For high hopes and noble causes, for faith without fanaticism, for understanding of views not shared. For all who have labored and suffered for a fairer world, who have lived so that others might live in dignity and freedom.
We give
for human liberty and sacred rights, for opportunities to change and grow, to affirm and choose. We give thanks this day. We pray that we may not live with our fears, but by our hopes, not by our words, but by our deeds.
Each Sunday, we collect an offering for the ongoing support of the fellowship. It's a symbol of how we give our gifts to one another. Please give generously.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, everyone. So as you can tell, we're doing things a little bit differently today. This is part of the joy of RE. You mix things up, keep things exciting, set expectations, break those expectations. So Lily's going to be my helper for this next part. So Lily, if you would go ahead and come up. I'm going to do a quick survey of the room while she's here assessing what's going on. Got it? Okay. So quick survey. Who here has ever been an Our Whole Lives or OWL student? Who has ever taken an OWL class? All right. Now, keep your hand up if you've done two classes. Keep your hand up if you've done three classes. Okay. We have a couple pros in the room. All right, hands down. Who has been a teacher or facilitator for Our Whole Lives? Couple, look there. Line is visiting us. Wonderful. Okay. And now, who has been a parent of an Our Whole Lives child? All right. We've got quite a few. And then, hands down. And who has no idea what we're talking about? And every time we talk about this, they wonder what it is. Or maybe you're just completely. And a grandparent. And who's completely uninterested and wish they hadn't come today? Okay, so, all right, well, all right, thank you very much. That helps me understand the group that I'm talking to. All right, so talking about sex is weird. Hi, everybody, and we have our teens that stayed with us today. So hi, teens. Talking about sex is weird. But I want to be really serious here. It's not inherently weird, right? It's not weird because it was created weird. It's weird because talking about it in our culture has become weird. So we're just going to jump right in and do an exercise, and Lily has agreed to be front and center, and so I appreciate that very much. But for just a few moments, we're going to pretend that the way humans make babies is riding a bike, okay? And we're going to talk about it. So, okay, you're a kid, and you know there's something important about riding a bike. You know that. And you know that a bike frame looks a little something like this. Now, you're not sure which way's up and which way's down and which way's forwards and which way's backwards, but you know that a bike frame looks pretty much something like that. So our student here is going to try to squeeze that onto the board. Got it? Okay. All right. And now, you've also been told that there are round, squishy things under the bike. And so you imagine, go ahead, balloons. Okay, so there's balloons under the bikes. And you're not really sure exactly how many there are, but you think there's like three. So that's pretty much what you think because nobody's really talking about this stuff. Okay, and then you were like watching a TV sitcom and people were making lots of jokes and there was a joke about somebody putting their hand on the front of the bike and so that made you think of a glove. So there's pretty much a glove at the front of the bike, we're pretty sure, because you put your hands on it like that. Okay. And your parents mumbled something to you once about when you start to ride a bike. It can hurt your pubic area if you go over, like, big bumps. And so you hope that the seat on your bike has space on it for your penis and vulva that might look something like this. So we want space on the bike so that we don't hurt ourselves. And then you know there's something to do with pedals because there's a lot of commercials on the internet about pedals. And you know pedals are really important. And so you know that there are flowers involved somehow and somewhere in this whole process. Okay? And so you have just reached, thank you, Lily, reproductive maturity. And when you go to ride a bike, you expect to be sitting on a toilet, wearing a glove, bouncing on balloons in a field of flowers. Did anyone mention balance or gears or steering? Did anyone mention traffic safety or brakes? No, we didn't. The exercise is over, but I hope you get the point I was trying to make. How well was this young person taught? How well were they prepared to ride a bike? And we'll just leave that up there for fun. I can't even see what she did. Okay. It'll come down in just a little bit. Okay. So now I'm going to read kind of an owl position or purpose statement. And we've read this kind of thing before when we've had recognition ceremonies of owl. But hopefully if we've given this example, it might mean something a little bit more. Our Whole Lives is a comprehensive sexuality education curriculum that helps participants make informed and responsible decisions about their sexual health and behavior. It equips participants with accurate, age-appropriate information in 6 subject areas: human development, relationships, personal skills, sexual behavior, sexual health, and society and culture. So it's broad, it's comprehensive, and it's lifespan. So there's age-appropriate things at each stage. So the exercise is over, but let's look at a scientific book for kids. Okay, this book covers all the systems: muscular, skeletal, digestive, circulatory, urinary. Oh, urinary. Well, there's got to be something good in there, right? So here's our urinary system. Okay. Well, we've got urea, urine, and urinate, but not a urethra to be found. We don't know where the bladder goes. It stops at the bladder, I guess, because it's inappropriate to talk about that even in a science book with our kids. Okay. Another real-life example for this for me crystallized last week at Michaela's college graduation. So I'm sitting at the table with Tom Phillips, and Jean had brought many of Michaela's drawings as a child. He had turned into placemats. Jean had done this as a surprise to Michaela. So Michaela walks in. What? Jessica. Oh, Jessica did that as a surprise to Michaela. Okay, I don't want to give Jean credit or blame if that's not appropriate. Excuse me. So we're sitting there with Tom, and Tom Phillips starts to giggle because some of the little profiles of dogs, she's drawn animal after animal after animal, and some of the profiles of the dogs have penises. And Tom's laughing and says, well, clearly she learned from her mom, the veterinarian. So it's worth noting, and it's kind of funny, that a child drew anatomically correct pictures of an animal. And kids who are in ag and kids who are the children of veterinarians, they learn all this stuff very early on. But so many kids don't have that exposure or that experience anymore. So it's, you know, the fact that she could do that was wise and appropriate for her age and stage. It's just not the experience of most kids. Okay, so we're going to go ahead, and Matt and Jen are going to be my helpers on this, and we're going to hand out packets, and I honestly do not know if I have enough for everybody, so couples or families take one packet per piece and some pencils and pens. But I want to, as they're handing out, I'm going to keep talking. So the 4th principle of Unitarian Universalism, as listed on the back of your program, is a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. There is a myth that comprehensive sexuality education increases risk. Again, this is a myth. It is not true. Comprehensive sexuality education actually builds protective factors. Our Whole Lives says we want age-appropriate information. It is age-appropriate to use the proper scientific names for body parts. We don't call an elbow a bee-boo. Well, we do have nicknames for belly button, but that's one of the only ones. We don't call an elbow a bee-boo because an elbow is taboo. We call it by its proper name. Why would we call a penis a winky? I don't know. I don't know why we do. Do you know what a vulva is? I used that earlier when I talked about our bicycle example. Some of you may be going, whoa, why didn't she say vagina? Well, here, let's share the definition. A vulva, and our kids know this, although the youngest probably can't fully articulate it. A vulva is the external genital organs of the female, including the labia majora, labia minora, clitoris, and the vestibule of the vagina. So vagina is not the proper term. So we teach the proper term from the very beginning of our Whole Lives classes. Okay. So part of the materials provided to our youngest class is a simple line drawing of a boy about age 5 to 7, a sex-identified boy, sex-identified female of about age 5 to 7, and you can actually see their entire body. It's not just a swoop like a Barbie. It's not invisible like our system. You know, I mean, it's actual appropriate. And one of the exercises the kids do is they name all the body parts. So there might be a line to the knee and a line to the elbow and a line to the nose, but then there's lines to the male and female body parts as well. And I would say that one of the most important K through 12 experiences is the parent orientation. The reading materials provided to parents and the emphasis that parents should start early if they want to be askable. A parent who is willing to name body parts and explain what they do when a child is young is setting the stage for being askable as that child grows. So it's never too late, but it's easier if you start early, kind of thing. Okay? All right, so today we want our whole lives, OWL, to become very real for those of you who haven't had an opportunity to participate in it. So we're going to have just sort of three groups, and I'm going to work this part of the room, and Matt's going to work that part of the room, and Jen's going to work that part of the room. And what we're going to do, and I'm going to still lead from the microphone here, but your group leader is going to be able to help you process and answer questions and things like that. So we're going to get noisy in just a minute. All right, so you haven't opened your package yet. You're all good rule followers. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Quick disclaimer before we do it. You had your packet open. I saw it. Oh, my gosh. Okay, quick disclaimer. Where are we at on time? Oh, goodness, we don't have any time at all. This is not what a real parent or child experience is like. In real classes, people are there voluntarily, and I realize some of you are here perhaps under duress because you had to do coffee or something like that. And sometimes parents tell kids they have to do it, but we're not going to go there today. Okay. But I've tried to make this experience as safe and inclusive as possible. How I framed it is you are the parent throughout, all of you, even our young kids are the parent throughout all of our scenarios we're about ready to do. And if anyone is uncomfortable verbalizing any kind of response today, they do not have to. That is perfectly okay. You won't be prompted to by any of your group leaders. But do raise your hand or speak up if you want to participate. And if you want to hang back, that's okay too. Still don't open your packet. All right. Look at your picture. Choose a child in that picture to be your child. You might be a biological parent, an adoptive parent, a step parent, a foster parent, or a guardian. But you're about to consider an important decision for this child. Pick your child. Is it someone like you? Someone different than you? How do they think? Are they silly or serious? Are they a cup half full or a cup half empty kind of kid? Are they more mature or less mature than their peers? Decide if they're happiest when they're moving or if they're happiest when playing quietly. Take another moment and circle your child. Okay, that's your kid. You got big responsibility now. All right, now open your packets. Thank you very much. The next few pages are labeled pages 19, 20, and 21. And these pages represent for us the How Babies Begin stories. There are two options each time this class is held. And each time the class is held, the parents get together and decide by consensus after discussion which of the two versions of how babies are made is going to be shared with the kids. Both versions have been used at this fellowship. There is not a right or a wrong answer to this. One of the versions has much more detail about sexual intercourse than the other. So we're about ready to split into groups. A couple more things. The children on the front, the child you just circled is in second grade, age 7. They won't be exposed to this story until much groundwork has been laid. It's in the 7th class session for this Our Whole Lives group. And now we're going to go ahead and start our talks. And talk amongst yourselves. Don't just talk amongst your family, but talk to the people in the rows in front of you or behind you. And what I want to come back with, and Matt and Jen are going to come back with, is two reasons you would want the more detailed story used about sexual intercourse, and two reasons you might not want the more detailed story used for sexual intercourse. Again, there's not right or wrong, and both have been employed at this fellowship. So think about two reasons why you might want your kid to have that page 21, starred text, why you might want them to have it, and why you might not. Okay? All right. Break. Okay, I hate to cut off the good discussion.
Should I ring the bell?
I hate to cut off good discussion because it sounds like we're having it all over the place, but so you just got a little bit of the flavor of the discussions. I know I was rushing you for reading and comprehending, but you got a little bit idea of the discussions that occur when parents are considering putting their kids in this child and when they're considering making the decision. So I'm going to go ahead and share the two things that really resonated with me from my group about why not to, and then Matt and Jen can come up and say whether they had something different or just kind of repeats. But guess what? I was hoping somebody would say this. Laura wins my prize, so I didn't have to plant the question. This story is about a man and a woman who are still together. This story is about biological families, and this story is about a man and a woman who are still together. That's not exactly how she phrased it, but I did good enough. So it's not a particularly broad. The broadness does come in at other parts in the curriculum. I want to be clear on that. This is one story of how information is shared with children. So the breadth is covered, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Second comment about that. So another concern, completely legitimate. The other thing I heard was somebody shared that their parents tried to get real explicit with them when they were little and just didn't work for them, and they were embarrassed and they didn't want, and I got a couple embarrassing things from others and they didn't want to do it. One person over here said, I'm from a health background, and so I just like to go all the way and you just explain everything and then, you know, you pull back as you need to, but just go all the way in. And somebody else shared that their child had this exact question and they needed to be able to answer it. And so they appreciated that it could be answered in this setting. Matt and Jen, if you want to come up real quick and just share what you heard.
I think the general consensus in our group was story two was probably preferable. So we mainly talked about story two. There are some negatives that come up with from story two. The first was it's only about childbearing, right? Sex is more than just childbearing, and that story leaves out other parts of why we're sexual beings. Another negative, the cultural effects of your child being essentially enlightened and oversharing, undersharing, interacting with other children that don't have this comprehensive experience could be a negative thing. And it could be embarrassing for, and that could lead to either parents being embarrassed through their kids saying things that other kids don't understand and get into trouble. And then the fourth was, this is only representative of a same-sex marriage or a marriage that's still intact. So there's leaves that out. So let's see. Oh, and one of the positives, main positive about the second story is, instead of leaving out information, I think they're thinking their kids would still not be satisfied with the story if you just use that first story. So they would still have questions even if you presented that first story, you're leaving out an important aspect. So.
The consensus with my far section over there was that they'd go with the second version of wanting more information. We actually didn't come up with a reason for not wanting more information. One of the thoughts that was shared was, if you share the truth with your child, you're helping them to not be misinformed in the future. So if you don't share the information with them, they're carrying this like unknown thing with them for who knows how long, and that can just hinder education in the future. And teacher extraordinaire pointed out that it can take up to 60 times to correct a misinformation. So that's huge. And I know, like, our son's a how kid, so he's always like, how, why? So I don't think he'd be, he's too young right now, but he wouldn't be satisfied with just an abrupt stop. So kids are curious and they want more information. So that's another reason for wanting the more information. That's it.
Thank you. Okay, thank you all. Okay, So, again, there are no right or wrong answers. Please keep in mind that this is a broad curriculum that covers all kinds of things. That's towards the end, and it's emphasized throughout that parents are the primary sexuality educators for their children. A class like this cannot substitute for what they hear and the messages they receive over and over and over again at home. Okay, so now we're going to age your child. Think back to the child you picked, and we're going to age your child in there now in fifth grade. And in this curriculum, we start ever so gently to broach relationships. And one of the favorite exercises in this is to discuss family roles, which oftentimes gets interpreted by kids right away as chores. But then we continue to kind of expand that into other duties and emotional or cultural jobs around the home, teaching jobs around the home, teaching about values. And this can lead to some great exploration of gender roles. And then the curriculum defines friendship. And then handout 7, labeled at the bottom as page 38 in your packet, is something that the students do on their own. They don't share those responses with anyone else. That's a self-reflective thing that they're to do. But after that is done, there's a series of reflective questions. And one of the questions that is a prompting question is, why would we want to do more intimate things with one person rather than another person? And so that's the beginning of relationships and the young person having agency in what their choices are and their interpersonal relationships. Okay? So this curriculum also explains a lot about puberty and has it's complimentary. It's not free, but it's complimentary to the curriculum book called It's Perfectly Normal. The little cartoons in your packet are a few of the cartoons from that book. There's more that show body parts and all that sort of thing. But our exercise for this portion of it is... what burning question would your child on the front, what burning question about puberty would your child have? And so please write that burning question on the post-it note in your packet, and our facilitators will pick it up, and we will try to address that burning question in your packet, okay? So everybody write a puberty question. Oh, here's this is a real thing that we do in the class, a big thing about question box. If you don't have a question, then we still want you to write something, and that is no question at this time. And everyone keeps their questions private, and everyone hands them up. And then the teachers have some time to process through those questions, and we'll share their answers at the beginning of the next class.
Completely
okay?
Anonymous.
Completely anonymous. Question box is the real deal, and the way that people who have a burning question, but it's completely off topic, they just thought of it, they can put it in the question box at the end of class. They have a personal concern that they're not comfortable voicing. They put it in the question box. They have something completely silly or a rumor that they've heard or a joke that they don't understand. They can put it in the question box. And the facilitators can take the time to process it and bring back a thoughtful answer at the beginning of next class. So we're going to put Matt and Jen on the spot and have them pick 2 questions to come back and answer. So, okay, write your puberty question, please.
So we have some veto power.
Yeah. Matt and Jen are going to be hard at work, possibly Googling, possibly looking at our reference materials, and I am going to jump ahead. Okay, so... So now I'm going to jump ahead from this exercise real quick, and I am so sorry, we are going to go over on time today. But I'm going to jump ahead from this exercise real quick, and I'm going to talk about, we'll come back to Matt and Jen's answers, but I am going to talk about the circles of sexuality. Okay, so we're jumping ahead 3 more years. Your kid is now in 8th grade, okay? Your child is in 8th grade. The curriculum goes from 7th to 9th. The circles of sexuality are explained to the parents in parent orientation that's in your packet. The circles of sexuality are a big part of the first session that we sit with students in. And we talk through a number of different things. And this is some of the information that's shared with parents and students. All 5 of the sexuality circles are part of what makes us human beings.
Sexuality is not limited to genital sexual behavior. Having sexual intercourse is only one behavior in the five circles. Emotional intimacy, sharing love and caring in a relationship, can happen with or without sexual intimacy. Sexual intimacy can happen with or without sexual intercourse. It goes on from there, okay? So it's a very broad. And that makes most health and puberty and things like that programs are focused on the unintended consequences of teen sexual activity, like pregnancy or sexually transmitted infections. Our Whole Lives tries to focus on helping children gain knowledge, explore values, and lead sexually healthy, responsible lives as they grow older and reach their maturity. Again, I want to refer to our bicycle, and I want to think about the alternative to that. And then this is where I wanted to speak very specifically. The sexual identity circle also includes sexual orientation, and I will say some people still think of sexual orientation or things about transgender people as something we still get to decide on, and that is not the approach of OWL at all. OWL is all in, first principle, every person complete as they are, and sexual identity and sexual orientation are treated as completely normal. And this is incorporated from the very beginning of the curriculum, again, in age-appropriate ways. But one of the things that we would say to children, the students that are approximately eighth grade at this time, is that some people are attracted only to one gender, others are attracted to two or more genders. Some people aren't sexually attracted to anyone, because that's on our spectrum as well. And then for some people, sexual orientation can be fixed and stay the same their whole life. And for others, sexual orientation is fluid and may shift over the course of their life. And so it's very, again, that is very much embedded into the program and the way that that is handled. So the concern about the K-2 is well noted, but we do address that in other ways. Okay. And so then I'm going to keep going in your packet, and I want to talk just about the next two handouts there, Facilitator Resource 4 and Facilitator Resource 5. So this is a fun second lesson for our eighth graders, and the Facilitator Resource 4 is an auction. So each student can be given, there's sometimes optional exercises, but each student can be given $300 in fake money. And each value is auctioned off. And so whoever bids the most for a particular value wins that value. Nobody else gets it. And when you're out of money, you don't get to buy any more of your values. So just as an exercise, we're not going to break into different groups. Just as an exercise, I would like you guys to think after service, which one of those would you pay the most money for? Which one is most important to you? What do you value on that list? And I'm also going to talk about Facilitator Resource 5. I'm sorry if I misspoke there. Facilitator Resource 5 is the one I'm on now. And there's four things listed that I've got kind of highlighted. And one of the things we continually do with the parents as the primary educators is we encourage the students to talk to their parents. All of these things that we've talked about, would your parents answer the same as you? Or would they answer differently? Have you ever talked to your parents about these things before? So just in your mind with your imaginary kid, just be thinking of those four that I circled. Which would be easiest to talk about as a family when considering your values, and which would be hardest? So some of them might be easy to talk about, all of them might be easy, others it might be very difficult, depending on your family dynamics and other things that are going on. And then we also, that exercise is moving, the students move. One end of the room is strongly agree, one end of the room is strongly disagree, and they're to move back and forth on these different things. And then also part of the processing, in addition to encouraging talking to parents, is how hard was it? Was there anywhere you were like, I don't know, I really feel stuck in the middle? Or did all our little group all move as a herd and all agree on every single one of these things? Do we think everybody out in the wide world agrees with how our little group moved around, agreeing or disagreeing, if we had a lot of consensus in our class. And so those are the things, when we talk about this being more broad, yes, we're going to cover things like the reproductive system. Yes, we're going to cover things about the risky things that they might cover in a health class at a school. But these are the other things that we're talking about to try to make it broader and cover all of those. The circles of sexuality are posted at the beginning of every class, and oftentimes after we do a lesson or concept, we'll ask the students, and where does this fall in the circles of sexuality? And they identify where it goes, and they're pretty good at it. Okay, so do we have any answers? Look at all the questions. Okay, Matt and Jen are going to answer a couple of our puberty questions, and then we will hear from Scott to Nona for a parent reflection.
Well, don't want to take many good questions here, so we'll just pick a few. One of them was, when should I expect puberty to start? Which is a really relevant question. Girls often start puberty when they are 9 or 10 or 11, so it varies a little bit. Boys often start puberty a year or so later when they are 10 or 11 or 12. So there's a three-year span. So it could happen any time in there. And everybody's different. So, all right. Let's see. So how long will it take? Does it happen all at once? There's a lot of questions that are related to how long does it take to go through puberty, and does it happen all at once? All these changes do not happen at once. Most of them happen slowly over a few years' time, and a few happen quickly. And often, though not always, take place in a specific order. So, and there's more information if you would like to know of more about that. I can get you that information, too. All right. There's a lot of questions about why does the penis get longer? Is it normal to have an erection in the morning? A lot of others. So males usually have erections before and during sexual intercourse. An erection makes it possible for the penis to enter the vagina. Sometimes males have erections for no apparent reason, even when they don't want to have them. So that's pretty clear. And all right, Jen, you can I have all the answers. So usually we have a week to go through.
Yeah,
and this is actually representative of what these questions are like. So.
Some of the questions, like one that stood out is, when will my body be ready to have sex? I thought that was a really good question because it's the like physical versus emotional. Like usually our bodies are ready a lot sooner physically than they are emotionally, and that's like the core of OWL to me. Like that's mm-hmm. what we're teaching the kids. That's why we focus on values and self-worth. So the question was really cool. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't have the answer.
So everybody's different physically and emotionally is the kind of the basis of where that answer would come from.
Yeah.
Physical has much more technical definition, and then so that would be very related to puberty, and then the emotional would be essentially age-appropriate and emotionally appropriate, and that would be a pretty extensive discussion. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, thanks for bringing the book.
All right, so I'll be really quick here. I'm a parent who has three kids, and all three have gone through OWL. One of them's gone through all three of the curricula you learned about. One of them's gone through two, and one of them's gone through just one so far. I am so grateful for this thing to be going on here. I wish we could get this to every kid, right, around. But not just every kid, every parent. Parenting is hard. I mean, it's hard, right? I mean, everybody who's been a parent knows this, and if you're not a parent, you know this, right? I mean, so trying to figure out the right things to do, you know, how permissive are you? How do you weigh being too strict, being too permissive, right? How do you handle, like, what you praise, you know, how critical should you be? And not, these are really difficult things, right? And there are no definitive answers to this. And I really wish that we as a society had better ways to help parents figure this stuff out just for everyday parenting. It's harder when it comes to sex, sexual identity, gender, right, identity, sexual orientation, gender identity, you know, just body image, things like this. For me, it was super valuable to have our kids have this available. I know for our first one, Maeve, I was particularly concerned, sort of as, you know, this is the first time parenting kind of thing, but particularly concerned with just the crap that our society dumps on kids, and especially girls, right? And really looking for additional resources to help us parent this kid through all of those challenges. And I think Owl does a fantastic job of that. But as I said, it's not just about helping the kids. It's about helping the parents. I'll confess, the first time I went through this, looking at those two stories, I was not comfortable with story number two. The word stroke particularly bothered me a bit, right? And so I had to deal with that, right? And talking with other parents about this and talking through, well, wait a second, why are you so concerned about that, right? Was a really important, valuable thing for me. I think I, through that experience, through all the discussions, in fact, you know, if there's anything else I would change about OWL, it would include even more continued parent discussion, because those discussions are fantastic, right? I think through that process, through doing the homework with the kids, through listening to what they're talking about, and they haven't always shared everything that's going on, right, when they're at OWL, and that's appropriate too, right? That process has been super valuable for us too. I mean, I hope we've become more askable parents, right? I know that when I was a kid, my parents are good parents, but they were not askable. I remember having all kinds of questions that I couldn't ask them, right, or that I felt that I couldn't ask them, right? And, you know, now kids can Google stuff, but that's not a good way to get answers, right? I mean, so I was Googling up laws about vaccinations, right? And the first pages I got were anti-vax sites, right? So, I mean, imagine how that's going to work with sex, right? I mean, sort of like, what kind of crap are you going to get out there, right? So this is really a fantastic thing, right? So having some other people, you know, do the demonstration of how the condom goes on the banana was, you know, this is a really good, right? So it's fantastic that there's somebody else out there, right, for the kids to have that, to help work through that with them, and to help me get more comfortable with all that. It's just, I'm incredibly grateful for this program and for all the teachers that have been doing things. It's really fantastic. So I can't say enough good things about the Our Whole Lives program. It really is fantastic. I'm really appreciative.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to say five more words. Knowledge is helpful, not harmful. Period. And then we'll do our closing hymn and then some closing words from John Alou. So our closing hymn, number 298, Wake Now My Senses. Oh, sorry.
Let's just do three verses. Let's just do the first three verses.
invite you, if you're comfortable, to take hands with somebody around you, just to join hands with somebody near you. The hand in yours belongs to a person whose heart is sometimes tender, whose skin is sometimes thin, whose eyes sometimes fill with tears, and whose laughter is a beautiful sound. The hand that you hold belongs to a person who is seeking wholeness and trusts that you are doing the same. As you leave this sanctuary, may your hearts remain open, may your voices stay strong, and may your hands remain outstretched to one another. So may it be.